one game question, management question, and then one on the personnel side. I was curious on the timeout late in the first quarter, if you were thinking about that in taking that, was that because of the kickoff you were sort of projecting? If you scored on the third down play, you kick with the wind. And with that, I was curious how much you thought the wind was a factor. And then the second part of the question is just first impressions of Akeem Ayers.
Well, I think Akeem did a good job this week of, you know, coming in and getting acclimated to everything. I mean, new town, new team, new terminology. There wasn't a whole lot of carryover from system that he was in to the system that we run. So I thought he did a real good job of making that transition, playing in the kicking game, playing on defense, and, you know, just getting the game plan, the scouting report, the, you know, the whole transition. It was a lot in a few days. I think he handled it well, and you know, helped us in the game, you know, so a few times. And yeah, had, you know, we were on the, or it was 1 yard line there, inside the one. So if we would have scored there, then we would have had the kickoff with the win. But of course, it didn't work out that way. The wind, I thought, was it gusted, so there were times during the game when I thought it was more of a factor than others. It wasn't a constant, just a steady factor. It kind of came and went at times. I think it was more of a factor in the kicking game than in the passing game, though.
Bill, as successfully as you started the first and then finished this first half with that big lead, to come out in the second half the way that you did, up-tempo, it seemed, I think, with an empty set on every play in that first drive, to score as quickly as you did and maintain that sharp focus, it seemed. I mean, how important is a drive like that, not only in the context of that game, but moving forward, in a game that was so lopsided at the time, but also to just continue to keep your foot on the pedal, so to speak?
Right, yeah, I think the players did a good job of that, Bob. And, you know, we hadn't run a whole lot empty in the first half. Something we went into the game with. We thought that, you know, it might be a good, you know, time to sprinkle it in there. Probably something they weren't talking about too much at halftime. But really, especially in situations like that, I don't think you focus on the score. You just focus on the next play. You know, just try to play good football, do your assignment, you know, do a good job on each play. And at that point, I think, you know, the message to the team and the team's kind of, you know, players talking to each other, the message to each other was, you know, don't worry about the score. Just go out there and do your job and play good football. So they did a good job. That was a good drive for us.
Hi, Bill, I just wanted to ask you about the strip sack and score in the second quarter there. It seemed like, you know, obviously Dante got there first, ended up being a lot of guys around the ball there. I'm wondering what you saw from looking at it again from the coverage on that play and maybe how the secondary, the defensive backs there contributed to, you know, allowing those guys to all get there, you know, pretty quickly.
On the strip sack, right, you know, Hightower, you know, High came in there and kind of went over Forte and got to Cutler. Cutler was still on his feet, had the ball, you know, kind of in both hands, but down low, not really against his body. And then kind of at the same time, it looked like Easley and Zach Moore both swiped at it. It looked like, to me, Zach kind of got Cutler's right arm, and I think Dominique got his got the ball, and then it slid out there. You know, Rob made the smart play by getting on the ball and then you know, getting up, and just as he was getting up, you know, Long kind of dove over the pile there, and he hit Rob, but Rob was already off the ground and had Long hit him just, you know, a split second sooner, if any part of Rob's body was touching the turf other than his hands and his feet, then he would have been down by contact, and I think they ended up reviewing that. But Rob did a real good job to, you know, get up quickly, kind of keep his balance, even though Long hit him. You know, Rob was already up, started running. I think our players reacted quickly and, you know, blocked and were able to kind of shield off. I think it was, I can't remember, it was Bushrod maybe, and might have been Morgan. So it was, you know, I thought, you know, obviously a good play by Hightower, you know, getting the penetration, making the sack, an alert play by, you know, Zach and Dominique, you know, both trying to get the ball, you know, even though the quarterback was already tackled, they were trying to, you know, go beyond that and try to get the turnover. And said easily, I think he got his, maybe his left wrist kind of pulled it away from the ball, and then it dropped out. And you know, Rob was, you know, alertly on it. So that's kind of the way I saw it. The coverage was okay. There really wasn't a lot of, I don't think Cutler had very much time really to work with there. Hightower was on it pretty quick right up the middle. Coverage was, you know, we were on our guys, but the rush happened pretty quickly.
Bill, Brandon Browner was pretty open this week talking about wanting to improve his conditioning coming off the Jets game into his second game here. Just wondering, now that he has two games under his belt and I guess is sort of rounding into his midseason form, how you thought he looked yesterday and how he's gotten better over the last week or so.
Yeah, Brandon really works hard. He works extremely hard on the practice field. We saw that all through training camp, well, all through the spring, all through training camp. You know, he's got good instincts and you know, knows the defense. We asked him to do a lot of different things. You know, yesterday he was, you know, outside, but he also came in and was on Bennett in coverage in certain situations and did a real good job of tackling. I thought he had a good open field tackle there on Forte, you know, on a big third down stop, but he's a good run force player. So, you know, he does a good job in all those situations. And so I don't think his on-the-field work ethic, you know, has ever been a question. He just unfortunately missed a little bit of time there at the beginning of the year. But he's worked very hard, and you know, that hard work's paying off. And, you know, the more he's played, the better, just like anybody else, the better the techniques are, the better your timing, confidence, reaction times, and so forth. And I think that's just been a byproduct of those practice and in-game opportunities.
Bill, with regard to Tim Wright, I mean, I know he wasn't with you guys last year, but, you know, going back to when he entered the NFL, 7 of his 8 touchdowns have come in the red zone, and understanding his size is a positive in that aspect, in that area. I was wondering if there's anything else you could kind of point out that maybe he's does well in that area that helps him get free.
Well, I mean, I think Tim's got a lot of things going for him as a receiver. He's got length, as you mentioned, and that's a big asset in the red area. It just gives the quarterback a, you know, bigger target. He's got length. He's got good hands and catch the ball away from his body. He's got quickness and, you know, can separate. Doesn't need a lot of space to get open. You know, doesn't, you know, like need to build up his speed and all that. He can get in and out of breaks pretty quickly. Big target with good hands, good catch radius. So, and he's a smart guy. And he has a good understanding of the passing game. He's played receiver in college, and you know, last year, obviously his year in the league, first year in the league, was a very productive one in Tampa. So, you know, he got a lot of game experience and good coaching down there. So I think all those things are, you know, positives. Tim works hard. He's, you know, always one of the first guys in, and, you know, works hard on the practice field, takes a lot of scout team reps, and that's been good for him too. You know, we've seen a lot of good tight ends this year. You know, Bennett yesterday being another one. And, you know, Tim took a lot of reps this week, giving our defense a look at Bennett. So I think things like that, you know, have helped him too. So as I said, we've seen a lot of, you know, a lot of good tight ends this year. Clay, Rudolph, you know, saw one in Kansas City, you know, Chandler in Buffalo. All those weeks in practice where he's not only running our plays, but running the opponent's plays, you know, good players and getting a lot of opportunity to work on the passing game in those situations too.
So I just wanted to follow up on something you mentioned about Ayers and that he had a lot to get used to in a short amount of time, and you mentioned new terminology being one of those things. I'm wondering if it had been an offensive player who's acquired midseason, does that issue, the terminology issue, get magnified even further just because of the volume involved in an offensive playbook?
Look, for every offensive play, you got a defensive play. So it's, I don't know that one's, you know, bigger or harder or, you know, whatever, more than the other. As a defensive player, every time the offense does something, you have to react to it. The good thing about the offense is at least you can control what it is you're going to do. You know what play you're putting a guy in there for. You know what play you're going to call. There's multiple things that can happen, but, you know, he doesn't have to learn, you know, every single play. He only has to learn the ones that he's in there for, and you have some control over those. Whereas defensively, when you go out there, you don't know if they're going to be in, you know, empty I formation, play action pass, 3-by-1, 2-by-2. You know, it could be anything. I think that, you know, Akeem, you know, I think defensively, there may be more plays on offense, but there are more things you have to defend on defense. So, you know, in the end, it's probably about the same. We tried to, you know, have Akeem ready to do certain things more than others. But, you know, when you go into a game and you only have, you know, five linebackers like we had yesterday, then, you know, you got to be ready to play in every situation. So it wouldn't take too much to, you know, to have to do more than that. So he ended up, you know, playing primarily in sub situations. But like I said, it wouldn't take too many steps to change. So, you know, I think going forward, he'll get more opportunities and become more familiar with the defense, other parts of the defense, regular defense, and, you know, goal line and short yardage and things like that. So, you know, we'll see how all that goes. But I think for his role yesterday, which is primarily in our sub-defense, that he did a good job of, getting a lot of that right. I mean, certainly there's some things we need to work on, and he'll learn from yesterday, but then did a good job.
Hey, Bill, I just got a couple for you. One, what did you think of the way Danny Amendola handled some of those punt responsibilities, and is any of that part of trying to maybe lighten Julian's workload? And then second part, trade deadline tomorrow, what are these next 30 hours or so like for you and your staff? I know you pulled off a trade in each of the last couple of years before the deadline, and one last week, too.
Well, as far as the trade question goes, I think this is a lot different than at the end of the preseason when, you're coming into the 53 cut time and, there's just on your opening game, but you're also focused on your roster, and so is every other team, and there's a lot of player movement at that time, as there is, I would say, through the first few weeks of the season on every team, whether it's practice squad or roster moves or, you know, trades or signings or, you know, whatever you want to, however it turns out. It's not really like that now. I think there's, every team is probably dealing with some type of injury situation. They've lost players since the beginning of the year one way or another. There are probably guys on their roster. You know, I look at I mean, to see the injury report come out every week. I mean, every team's got guys that are, you know, questionable or doubtful or out or whatever. So there's fewer guys, and when you have fewer guys, you're harder to, let's say, trade them. You know, you're less inclined to, you know, give away guys that you have at this time of year than, you know, than maybe what you are at the beginning of the year when you're when you can't keep them all and that type of situation. So, you know, if the opportunity's right, and, you know, there's sometimes some conversation at this time of year about that. You know, the circumstances are such that a team is does have depth, or there's another reason they think they can help their team by making a move, then that's, I would just say those situations, those opportunities are a lot fewer than they were at the beginning of the year. It's just a lot different than that. It's not, I wouldn't say it's all that hectic right now. We're focused on getting ready for Denver. And, you know, Nick Caserio and his staff on the personnel end of it, or if something comes along and, you know, it's something that we think would be worth considering, then we'd talk about it. But I wouldn't say that there's a, you know, real heavy back and forth communication throughout the league on big trades. I'd be surprised if that took place on any team. It's just not, I just don't think it's that, you know, not that common this time of year. Could it happen? Like, yeah, there could be a couple of trades. I don't, but it's a lot different than what it is at the end of training camp.
Bill, I'm just wondering what you see as the benefits, not just for the individual players involved, but for the team in terms of the rotational reps that Marcus Cannon has been getting, I guess, for the last month at the various tackle spots throughout games.
I think Marcus I think all three of those guys are good football players. They've all played tackle at a good level. They've all started and played well in this league against good players. I think they all deserve to play. I think they've all played well enough to continue to deserve to play. And we have confidence with whoever's in there. They all bring many positives to their positions, Sebastian, Nate, and Marcus. So whichever one of them's in there, you know, brings positive to that position. I don't see it any differently than the receiver position or the running back position, or, you know, guys we put on the field are on the field because they're productive and they help the team. I would say those things about those three players.